Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be, when the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone, just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are waiting,
welcome to Hope is Alive, coming to you this live this Wednesday night, and I'll say good evening, men.
Good evening.
Okay. Good evening.
See, that kind of covers it. How about that? Good evening, Mr. Cox. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm blessed. How about yourself?
I am blessed and with life abundant, and that abundant life. And Brother Ralph, how are you doing?
I can't complain. I am just blessed beyond belief as well.
Well, good. And I know we've got a couple callers, so as always, I'll keep an eye on the phone lines and let you men know when your callers call in. During the intro music, we had a caller from Texas, Rochelle, a lady, and a friend had given her your information, Mr. Cox, and she said they are fighting some serious battles down there, and she's going to be in touch with you via email in the next day or two. And but she had called in just to touch base, and I told her I'd sure let you know that. And
all right,
so it's,
yes, I'll be watching for that.
And again, that was, she said, a friend had forwarded some stuff to her, hearing the problems that they were having. So it's like how the gospel was spread, was one person told somebody, and they told two, and they told two, and so that's Rochelle from Texas. So just wanted to share that with you. I thought that was good. And
yes, I've written down a note on it, brother, and we'll watch for her call.
All right. Well, I'll let you know when to call her.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Well, Everett, I'm going to lead us in a little prayer for a blessing on tonight's show, and then we can just get to talking about the subject at hand, which is deliverance.
All right.
Father, we do come to you in agreement of thanks, and we are thankful to you for the works of Jesus and the works that he will work through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are thankful that the whole reason we are doing this show is to help others. And here is somebody, as Brother Richard had said, or Rochelle, who is reaching out and looking for deliverance. So Lord, we do ask that this is followed through with, and we cancel any assignments that would be against this woman right now in the name of Jesus, to stop her and keep her from finding and reaching out for deliverance, Lord. Lord, we pray that your blessings would be upon this program tonight, that the testimonies would edify others, but most of all, glorify you. That's what this show is about. They glorify you. Not what we do, but what you do, and you use these humble vessels. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. And, you know, I always like to insert, Brother Ralph, that a scripture that is so good for Christians to memorize, and that's Luke 10:19. That's a scripture we at Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City hang our hat on a lot, quote a lot, knowing that the word goes forth to perform itself as Christians speak it. And Luke 10:19 is that scripture where we see in Jesus' name that we as believers have all power over the enemy, and even there's a promise behind that that nothing shall by any means harm us. So when we speak that, it is going out hurting the enemy, pounding the enemy, and it puts them on notice that we as Christians know who we are in Jesus. And of course, once they learn that we know who we are, that's a long ways to the victory goal line. So if a Christian has not memorized that, memorize it and quote it a lot. We quote it in every deliverance, every exorcism that we do. And when we're doing coming against spirits of infirmity, since we're speaking directly to the spirits and commanding him to come out, and we quote Luke 10:19 a lot. I've actually seen demons in manifestations take the person's hands up over their ears, not wanting to hear what's being spoken, and it hurts them. So if we know there's a scripture that hurts them, it's probably a great idea to memorize that and speak it a lot. Amen?
Amen. That's like having a gun in your hand, a spiritual gun in your hand. In fact,
Amen.
That's the way you explained it one time with me. It was having a spiritual gun in your hand. There's power in that gun, and you got to know how to aim it and how to fire it. I came across a scripture today as, for the last hour, I was listening to the prayer meeting and trying to prepare myself for the show. And it's Ephesians 3:20, and it says, Now him who is able to exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think, I'm sorry, to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think according to the power that works within us, And that was
that
just
passage.
That is a great passage. It's a great passage because it's not us doing the work, but we have the power through Jesus where he works through us doing it. And that's just an awesome thing. And then, like you said, believers. Well, I'm a believer. You're a believer. So I guess that gives us a license to practice what it says in 10:19.
And probably most of the listeners are believers.
Yes.
And they have that same power in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. All power. If we use it.
Yep. Now, I did have the opportunity and the privilege this week to go out to Oklahoma City and visit Mr. Everett here again. I brought a friend out that was coming out for a deliverance session, and I said, well, I want to sit down and get trained. And I got to sit in on my first deliverance session, and it was quite a wonderful experience. And I'm going to have to tell you, when I first started reading your book, I kept thinking, I don't know how I can do this. And I just didn't sit in. I ended up participating and almost finishing it up. And he was just so simple. And And what I witnessed, I understand now why you say it blows you away sometimes. I witnessed a man who was completely hunched over with the burden of the world upon him, is what it looked like. And as the session went on, and I don't think it went longer than 2 hours, I could see the transformation in this man. And just to see a new person, it was like the weight of the world was pulled off of him when it was done. And I witnessed to him the scripture about the yoke of Jesus is easy, and that's why he felt lighter. He even said he felt lighter ever. He said people say that all the time. and this man was he was dealing with some stuff from his childhood. What really stood out to me was the fact that he said his parents had used to practice some sort of witchcraft. He said as even a young child, he witnessed a man take a chicken and put it to sleep right in his hand. And so we came against those generational curses were there. He kept saying anger and loneliness a lot. And when we came against that loneliness demon and brought it out, I was working with Phyllis, who's going to be one of our callers this evening, and I believe her name was Joanne. Is that right? Was that who it was, Joanne?
That's correct.
Yes. And when we came against that loneliness, he coughed so much when it came out, I thought he was going to throw up. I really did. And he was coughing, and then Joanne got up and took her Bible and put it right there on his back. And when that came out, that was when I saw the biggest relief in him.
Praise God.
Well, I do praise God on that. And he looked like a brand new man when he was done. And he was just grinning. He was grinning ear to ear. And and Joanne demonstrated the limb check, and I had not seen that in action yet. And his feet were okay, but when he put his arms together, his left arm was a good half inch or more shorter than his right arm. And when she commanded that in the name of Jesus to line up, I sat there and watched that arm straighten out, even with the other one, right before my eyes. It was like it stretched.
Yeah. I first got introduced to that, Ralph, 38 years ago, and I've seen all these years. I see it about every week of, you know, people have to go to chiropractors a lot. Well, as we found out, we can speak in Jesus' name and command the adjustment. And we'll see these legs and arms adjust, and pain is gone as a result. How awesome. You talk about a tangible miracle. We get to watch that while it happens.
Well, guys, I think your first caller's in here with us.
Yeah, we got our first caller, Jenny's on.
Yeah. So, Jenny, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are y'all?
Yeah, hi,
I'm
Jenny.
I'm doing well.
Hi, Everett.
Thank you for calling. Yeah,
yeah, hi. You're welcome.
Appreciate you calling in. They're excited you're here, and I know you're enthusiastic about our subject here tonight, this area of the gospel called deliverance, and of course physical healings go right along with it. I asked you to come on so you could kind of share about first when you were born again and then how you learned about this works of Jesus and the practicality of it and how it helps people with their problems and any experiences that you've seen since you've been around this. So why don't you just go at it, Jenny?
Okay, I sure will. My name is Jenny, and I was saved around 7 years old, but I was filled with the Spirit at the age of 18, where I really began to walk with God. When I was 18, I grew up with deliverance. I've been through many deliverances. My ex-stepmother was a witch in witchcraft, and so I've seen everything that she's done, and I had to go through deliverance just being with her. And I've been through a lot of deliverances. God has just done so many things in me. It's like I've been an onion, and he's just peeling layers and layers and layers off of me to be closer like him. 20 years ago, I was delivered of fear with you, Everett, and your ministry. And my testimony is in Everett's book, the one, and that he's probably already told you guys about it. But my testimony is in there, delivered of fear. I wasn't able to go to the grocery store. I wasn't able to go to the zoo with my children. They were younger then. And I wasn't able to just be by myself, just horrible gut-wrenching fear. And I went through deliverance, and I actually went on that following week a zoo trip with my daughter with her elementary school, and I immediately just felt the presence of God and joy and peace like I've never had before. And then I was able to go places by myself, and I had such freedom. I think it was about 3 weeks ago I brought my daughter in for deliverance, and I wasn't going to go through it thinking, oh, I don't think I need it. I think I'm okay. It's been about 20 years. And I asked Everett, well, do you think I should go? And he's like, you should try it. It's been 20 years. You probably need a good house cleaning. So I was like, okay. So as I'm sitting there, you know, with my minister, she, you know, just, I was thinking, oh, this is, she's just, I'm going to end up ministering to her. I'm going to end up praying for her. And I just kind of had some pride thinking, I don't really need this. And then when we got to some things that I needed to deal with, there's been an assignment on my life since conception, since I was conceived. I'm adopted, and my story is a whole nother talk show, Everett, of my testimony with that. But there's been an assignment. The enemy has wanted to take me out since I was even created. And she, my minister, completely broke that off of me. And there was many other, there was some healing that became. I was delivered of worry, anxiety, that I didn't even know that was existed because I've had chronic sinus infections. And there was just many other things, Everett, I was delivered of that night. And I just felt such peace and relief. I'm able to hear God more. I'm able to pray with people at my work more. I'm able to minister to people more. And my prayer language is better because I haven't used it in so long. It's been dormant. And now I was doing it at my church during worship. And our church, I mean, we're Spirit-filled, but it's not, you know, a lot of people don't do that. And I began to do it, and I'm like, oh, this is really powerful. So that's kind of where I'm at today, but I'm able to be an encourager to people around me and more joy, and I can hear, I can see better, I can hear God clear, and my walk with Him is so much better, and I've never really felt loved or accepted or felt like I belonged anywhere being adopted. It's been kind of difficult for me. And for the first time in my life, I feel love and that I belong to someone, to God, and to my family, too. So that's partly my testimony, Everett.
Well, that's awesome, Jenny. And do you have any, when you were ministered to, let me ask you this. How do you know you were? How do you know spirits were coming out? Could you feel anything going on?
Oh, yeah. My face, it kind of creeped me out a little. But to be honest, my face went almost paralyzed and numb, and I felt my face just distorted, and I couldn't feel my face. And I was kind of, and I just kept opening my mouth. I did a kind of an evil laugh. My eyes opened up to my minister, and. And it was actually, she said, you need to come out. And my eyes just looked right at her and said, I've been here for a long time. You cannot make me leave. And I started laughing, but it wasn't me. And it was a destroyer spirit, a spirit of destruction that, like I said earlier, that was put on my life. So it was a destroyer spirit. I coughed a lot. I had pain in the top of my head, horrible gut, just horrible pain on the top of my head. I had my back pain, shoulder pain. My knees began to hurt. My feet went numb. And I felt like, Everett, this cold sensation around me, like colder like been in a freezer. I was freezing, and I began to just shiver, not like being out in the snow, but colder than that. And I thought, oh, that's the presence of God. And my minister said, oh no, that is an enemy. That's the enemy right there. She's this little short petite lady. I love her. She put the Bible on top of me, and she spoke, and that thing left. And I just was kind of knocked out for a minute, and she prayed over me. And then I began to speak in tongues. I almost went out in the spirit, Everett. And, I mean, it was just very powerful. It was life-changing for me.
Well, it sure was better than sitting at home watching TV, wasn't it?
That's right. And I wasn't, I mean, I just thought, oh, this is for my daughter. I guess I'll go through it. What the heck, you know? So, but I'm glad that you encouraged me, Everett, to do it. And just do it. And I wasn't even worried about it. I was like, okay, I'm sure there's something there. But I'm just really so thankful, Everett, for you and your ministry. And, this is huge. And
you know, there's no
thank
downside
you. And praise be to God, too.
Amen. There's no downside in doing it. We don't charge.
No, it's free, and there's a love offering if the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to help you in your ministry. You could donate. There's so many worksheets and books that Everett has for sale, and tapes and CDs. So just a huge amount of information about this ministry.
And Jenny, your very testimony, I just opened the book, because it starts at the bottom of page 113.
That's right.
In my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. So if anyone does have the book, you can turn there to the bottom of page 113 and read about her deliverance that took place 20 years ago. And of course, what all
20 years ago, that's
too,
right.
People, open doors. These 15 doors that we've recognized that Christians can have open, some of them being the generational doors, unfair as that is, and generational curses of various kinds. Though the good news being, in Jesus' name, we can close all those doors. That jerks the rug out from under the evil spirits, and then they're pretty easy to cast out. Some of them are a little tenacious and don't want to go. They don't want to lose the nice warm house, you know?
Right.
But as your minister kept coming against them, knowing that she had all power in the name of Jesus, just as Jesus, more than various times, had to command him to come out more than just once, well, certainly we run into the same thing. And as we stay in the command mode, usually it only takes a minute or two for each spirit or group to come out. Is that kind of what you experienced, Jenny?
Yes, and it was kind of stubborn, and she just kept getting to the root of it. And it was destroyer, and it was just really, she just kept putting the Bible all over my body, on top of my head, on my chest, on my back, on my knees. My stomach hurt. I thought I was going to throw up. You know, there was a lot of symptomatic things with that. But I kept saying, "Be gone in Jesus' name," and I was trying to take authority, because Everett, we have all authority to do this.
Amen.
In our own lives, you know. And I've been doing it daily, and I've been tested every day since then, 3 weeks ago, and we're always tested. But I'm kind of exhausted, but I keep going and keep going and keep having and walking in that authority.
Yes, and as the scriptures say, like in James 4:7, submit yourself to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee. And
that's
you
right.
were resisting in his name. And that's what, we have to put the power on the target, we found so typically. The more we can name the spirit, or sometimes they name themselves like the destroyer, which, by the way, is a very common spirit. After all,
right.
Jesus said they all come to steal, kill, and destroy. The destroyer, among the three dozen spirits, is typically cast out. Is always there, we find. Would you say you got a good three dozen spirits out, Jenny?
Oh, absolutely. And one thing that I I don't think I told you about this, Everett, that I was thinking about earlier. When we were doing, like, the door closing prayer, how you do in your ministry at the beginning, you know, when we go through that at the beginning before deliverance, and I started smelling, like, burning wood, or it was a horrible burning smell of, like, fire, and I thought, something's on fire, and I was kind of looking around, and I can smell in the spirit. I know that sounds kind of interesting, but you know, I do smell in the spirit. I know that sounds kind of strange, but
I
realized that was probably just the demons just around. But I did smell. I don't think I told you that, and that was before I went with my minister, and I thought that was really interesting. You know, to smell that.
Well, you probably have a sensitivity to that. I run into that. I don't seem to have it, but I've ministered to and many people that have reported they can smell the spirits.
Yes.
And I've often thought they would probably really be good on a quail hunt also. I used to quail hunt a lot, and if there's that sensitive with their nose, maybe they could be like a bird dog and point to where the quail are, you know.
That's right.
but that is a gift that some seem to have. Some people have the discernment gift, and they can pick up on the spirits. And then every now and then people tell me how they saw them come out,
mm-hmm.
And all that.
Wow.
Have you had any of that?
Yes, I have. I have seen, not during my deliverance, but I do see in the supernatural, and I see angelic too, but I just didn't really see any that night because, you know, but I know I've seen them, and I know where the angels are in my house, and, you know, during worship and things like that, so I do that, so.
That's great. Well, Jenny, is there anything else you'd like to add? Because, Robert, we do have Phyllis on the line here, and if we want to get to anything else out of Jenny, then we can bring Phyllis on.
Okay, I just want
to
encourage everybody to, if you need deliverance, if you're being tormented, or if you're going through, my daughter was dealing with anxiety and panic attacks, and if you've exhausted everything you do, go to deliverance, because your life will be changed, and there will be peace, and there will be freedom and victory in that.
Thank you, Vinny. You're a blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Jenny. You've been real energetic.
Thank you.
Your phone call.
All right. Y'all have a blessed evening. Thank you.
Well, you too. I want to give out the website first here before we have Phyllis come on. It's www.deliveranceusa.com, and on there that'll take you to many self ministry type tools that are on there. There's the door closing prayer, which we've talked about here, breaking ungodly soul ties, and this just there's a wealth of different things that are on the website. So if you haven't checked out there, people, I highly suggest that you would do. And also, if anybody has a call tonight and wants to call in and has a question for Mr. Cox here that they could possibly answer, it's 307-745-5913. And Phyllis, are you there?
I sure am.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Everett and Ralph. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you guys wanting to hear my testimony tonight, and I'm very excited to share it.
Well, just a second. I'll tell you, I got a chance to meet Phyllis this last Monday and found out we're practically neighbors.
isn't that something?
Far from each other. And the way she sat down, Everett, did she look like she could take on the world herself?
I think so.
She came in with so much energy, and when she sat down and just started giving a little bit of a testimony right there with all of us that were doing a little training, she looked like she could take on the world herself. So I'm glad you're able to join us tonight, Phyllis.
Well, thank you so much. I'll just say that when I was in about the fourth grade, I accepted Jesus, but things happened with my family that caused me not to be, like, grounded in a church family very, very well. And it was 34 when I really came to know the Lord and realized that there was something missing in my life, something that just wasn't quite right. And I know now that it was not having my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the number one focus of my life. And I'm so grateful for Him. And I truly believe that it was the Lord Himself who drew me to your ministry, Everett. And as I told you, I came first March 7th, and I was headed to Colorado to face some court hearings and some very difficult situations. And I was plagued by post-traumatic stress syndrome, depression, anxiety. And I had some people from some very large ministries that had prayed for me for the depression, and I hadn't gotten any relief. I just felt like I had an anvil sitting on my chest, and nothing, even medications, seemed to really help that at all. And I had prayed, I had fasted and prayed, and I needed some help. So Joanna was my minister, and by golly, that first night in March, I felt like I had been, you know, pretty much set free. There were still a few little residual things, but I felt like I was on cloud nine. I was so grateful. I just felt like the heaviness of the world had been lifted off of me. And I was headed to another ministry called HeartQuest, and it was a six-day women's ministry that's a very sacred time where you're totally set apart to really rediscover the passion that you have for God and that God has for you, and I wanted to be ready for that. So back in the car I got, and I started driving my 5 hours to your ministry, and I decided I was going to go for deliverance first so that I would be set free and ready to receive anything that the Lord had for me. And by golly, did that ever happen. I prayed, and I had been fasting that day beforehand as well. So I feel like for people who are really seeking deliverance, that I would recommend that they spend time fasting and praying and really setting themselves aside for the best to happen. And that is what happened for me. By golly, I prayed in the Spirit for 4.5 to 5 hours as I was driving. And when I got out of the car, I was ready. And Everett, you gave your talk, and I couldn't wait for whoever it was that was going to be my minister. I was sitting on the edge of my seat, just ready for what God had for me and to be totally set free. And here, lo and behold, you paired me with the same minister that I had had before, which was wonderful because she already knew what we had already prayed over, all of the soul ties that had been broken, all of the other oppressions that had been broken off of me, and I had a few new ones because I had been back at court and I had to face some difficulties that were really hard on me. So, by golly,
that was Linda that worked with you, wasn't it?
Pardon me?
Uh-huh. Linda was a minister with you?
No, it was.
Who was it?
It was Joanna. It was Joanne.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was her.
Well, when you
and
were ministered to...
all of a sudden, she started praying. Well, first of all, I got totally set free from fear, strife, abuse, and oppression. And she put her hand on my head and commanded my brain to get realigned with the Word of God and get aligned with the brain that I had from Jesus, because I have the mind of Christ. And she told the neurons to break the old bad connections and to reset new connections that were of God. And I literally saw in my brain sparklers going off.
I saw light and sparklers like the 4th of July going off on the top of my brain. And they kept going off. And she started commanding those new neural connections. And then I saw that my brain was brand new. It was a light putty color. And it was like, and I still see it right now, it was like a brand new baby's brain. And I was so excited because I knew God had created in me a brand new brain. And I could not stop smiling and laughing and praising God. Then she just commanded that all of the fragmented parts of my soul that had been scattered and strewn away and torn away from me, she commanded that they would come back and be reunited to my soul and that I would be made brand new. And Everett, before this time, when I saw myself, I saw a vision of myself being made with red brick and mortar in between, and I had deep gashes in the brick. They were made like with a giant machete. They were very deep, dark gashes. Now, there wasn't any blood coming out, but it was just the picture of just a desecrated, wounded soul. And when she prayed that over me, those bricks immediately transformed into glowing bricks. It's like my body was now built with bricks from the Lord. And the glow started getting greater and greater and greater, and until I was illuminated. And all of a sudden, beautiful vines and flowers started growing all over it. And there were no gaping holes. I was brand new.
Hallelujah.
I was ready to dance on the clouds. I was so excited.
Hallelujah.
And for the first time in my life that I can remember, I did not feel that heaviness on my chest. It's like fear was totally gone from me for the first time in my life, and I have battled it with everything that I personally could battle. I am so grateful. I am so grateful to the Lord that you have this ministry and that you have the trained ministers who know how to deliver God's word and how to fight the enemy, because I needed help.
Wow. Well, thank you, Phyllis. That's an awesome testimony. So
it is an awesome testimony.
You've got
I walked into HeartQuest totally cleaned out. I was totally
Hallelujah.
Cleaned out. And here I was walking into a ministry time where I was going to address deep, dark, you know, tormenting things from my past, maybe some things that I didn't even really have anything to do with, but they came into my life through generational curses or from my early childhood. And by golly, I was already washed clean. I was so excited.
You have a restored soul. It's kind of like the 23rd Psalm, Phyllis. It's like the 23rd Psalm. Your soul is restored. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That description of your vision of the bricks with like machete marks in them, and then the Lord putting new bricks in there, is an excellent description of how the breaking of the ungodly soul ties and then asking and, well, commanding all the fragments to come back in you. That's just amazing you were given that vision, because that is just an awesome, awesome way to describe that.
I'm
going to have to use that as an example when I testify to it, because some people don't understand what you mean when you talk about the ungodly soul ties and then bringing fragmented pieces back to you. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I still see it.
Well,
and I don't want that to ever change. I'll do whatever it takes.
Well, fellas, I'll bet.
Make sure that I retain it.
You're probably at the point of now thinking about ministering to others.
I sure am. And I was able to share with some of the people at the HeartQuest event about what a miracle it was and how easy it was to administer deliverance. It's a miracle what God has shown you and given to you, Everett, because it is with obedience that you have done this, and it is with God's grace that it happens, and I'm so grateful.
And I never set out to do it any one way. It's just been 38 years of the Lord showing us different things and directions to go. We've tried a lot of different methods, but the model that we finally settled out on is what we've used a number of years now that you experienced. Seems to really work well and pretty easy to teach.
Well, I just counted up on the second go-around how many I got set free from, and it was 75. So that's 6 dozen.
Yeah, well, there's no way you wouldn't be better.
That's right!
and of course, now it's the real you that's left. That was made in God's image with your special gifts and your special talents and your special destiny, able to go forward now unhindered. Obviously, those demons were not there for your help. They were there to block your life as a Christian, to hinder you so you would not go forward. So, praise God, hold on to your hat.
Yes, exactly. I can only look forward to the doors that he is flinging open for me, and I am intending to stay free by staying in the Word, grounded in it, fasting and praying, and just rejoicing to tell other people about what God has done for me.
Praise God. Well, I wish you were closer. You could be one of our team leaders here in Oklahoma City. But maybe you can go forward and set Missouri free. Amen.
Amen. I will be in close contact with you, and your ministry will be in my prayers.
And, you know, we will help you whatever you might need. And as you have questions come up, we'll be happy to help you coordinate that. But basically, all of our steps are in the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, that is available through Scriptures for America and their bookstore. And I would recommend anyone that's interested in going forward and learning to do this works of Jesus that the sisters that have been sharing tonight, those steps are all in there. And also the video under self-ministry, is it, besides getting people free that can't come to Oklahoma City, it is also a very handy teaching thing in that those steps that I take people through are what you can learn from as well on that video. So, works both ways.
That's great, and I also picked up your DVDs, Everett, when I was there. So I want to thank you for providing those. I'm going to be using those to study through as well.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing exciting results, Phyllis.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for sharing tonight. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close out with you that you want to tell the listeners?
Just to embrace deliverance. Somewhere in the Bible it talks about deliverance being the bread for the children. And if we don't have that bread, our spirits are starving. We've got to have it. And accepting Christ is one thing, but, you know, the most important thing is accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. But after that, what do you do with all the baggage? Let's get rid of it so we can be free. Be free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and I am finally free. I'm so grateful.
Hallelujah. We're all excited for you, and we can tell by the enthusiasm and excitement in your voice that you're there. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
Well, blessings to you, fellas. Thank you again for calling in.
Thank you,
yes,
fellas.
Thank you, Everett. Thank you, Ralph. It was great meeting you as well. I hope to see you again soon, both of you.
Okay. All right. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great testimony, huh, Everett?
Oh, that was, and that's what it's all about, and that's what keeps us all going. If we didn't hear testimonies that this if this didn't work, we'd quit doing it, but that's what drives us on to keep doing it. And it's very fulfilling to all of us to be in the middle of this and to see God use little us to turn lives around. It's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. I have a varied background. I was CEO of a mortgage banking company here, Oklahoma Mortgage, in Oklahoma City for 26 years. And I was in the Navy and naval officer and a lot of things in my background, but I flew for a good 30 years and owned 4 aircraft. And Alaska, I've taken a number of big game animals out of Alaska and so forth and so on. But nothing is more fulfilling and that brings a greater joy than sitting down on a one-to-one or even a group deliverance as well. But how awesome it is that God will use little us. Amen?
Amen. You know, I was sitting there and we were in Everett calls us his war room. That's where we do the training and before the ministers go out to help with the people, we commune with the Lord with music and prayer, people praying in the Spirit and taking communion. But I was just amazed at how the Lord sent just the right number for ministers, and I suspect it probably happens quite often. And the scripture that came to me, these people are all volunteers that come in, you know, they're taking time out of their busy schedule and to help others. And you know, they wouldn't be doing this if they didn't see results. But it just reminded me of the scripture in Philippians 2:4 that says, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others." And that's what I saw there: people coming in because they have a love for their neighbor, they have a love for others, and to take their time. I mean, I do a lot of volunteering with scouts, and sometimes it seems like I just don't have the time to do it. And the people, they do take the time to come out and do it. And I actually, after working through the deliverance session, I understand why they do, because it was very, very fulfilling to see that man set free. And I was just amazed at how easy it was, how you've made it so simple with your checkoff sheet and build so you don't forget what you got to, you know, to do, and has it set down in a specific order, which from whatever it told us, that seemed to be don't jump around. If you follow this, it seems to work better. They said in the past they didn't do some of these things, and they would see manifestations, and sometimes people I don't know, I can't remember the word to use, but maybe throwing arms around and stuff. And when they went to this type of mode, he said he signs very few manifestations after that. You know, if they didn't have copyright laws, you could probably just call your book Deliverance for Dummies.
Yes. Well, you're right on. You're right on, Ralph, because until we start learning to do the door-closing prayer of closing the 15 typical doors that demons will use to come into torment Christians, that it made all the difference in the world. Of course, it wasn't overnight that we did that. I kept tweaking that prayer as I learned things that demons were using to come in to torment. And so I started putting that prayer together to counter those
those reasons they were coming in. And so I take everybody through that about a, I don't know, 15-20 minute prayer where people repeat. And that does a pretty good job of, you know, undercutting the demons, jerking the rug out from under them where they don't have rights to be there. And they're pretty easy to cast out. So we seldom have anything like we did in the beginning where there was, it was common to have violence and people thrashing out of the chairs and a lot of outcries and all. And also we, even ourselves as a minister in those early years, we thought louder was better. So we're commanding these things top of our lungs to come out. Well, as you've seen, Ralph, when you've been to the ministry sessions there, it was all low-key and not loud at all. Is that what you witnessed?
No, I heard a couple of firm people speaking pretty firm at times, and I suspected that maybe that was happening because something was not wanting to obey the command right there. But, yeah, it was really low-key. It wasn't... didn't see any heads turning around, and I think you get to see one of those yet, so.
I haven't seen that in my 38 years.
It's not anything like the liars in Hollywood would want you to believe it is. It's just a simple supernatural work of Jesus. It's commonly known as deliverance, and it was just, I had an awesome experience. I'm glad that I made the time to go out there. I know my friend said he definitely benefited from it. And it was just a pleasure to, because I didn't really haven't spent a lot of time with that friend in a while. So we got the 5-hour drive back both ways to fellowship and talk and about things. And then, of course, I got to visit with Everett and some of the people there. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
It's actually kind of fun to unload these spirits, and the reason I say fun, each spirit as it comes out, the person seems to feel a little better. And so you get two or three more out, well, they're feeling better yet. Well, you unload several dozen, and you're mm-hmm. feeling like you're on top of the world, and if you should unload, like what Phyllis was talking about earlier, she thinks around 75 were cast out, there's no way she wouldn't feel great, you know?
Oh, I know. I know.
And that's what it's all about. That's why Jesus commanded believers to cast these demons out. I see it now very clearly in Mark 16:17, where he told believers, he commanded believers to cast these things out because most Christians have them. They're born again and going to heaven, but they're not living life abundant as Jesus said we should have, because we're still carrying a certain number of these evil spirits. So that's why Jesus, I see it, that's why he so adamantly commanded believers to cast these things out so Christians can get free, just like Phyllis and Jenny were talking about earlier, and they can go forward now unhindered in by these spirits. So that's why he commanded it. I see it.
Well, he came to set the captives free, and that captive, you know, that's in the here and after and in the here and now. And for a lot of people, the here and after seems so far away if they're being tormented in the here and now, and Jesus never intended us to live that way. You know, there are consequences, even though we are forgiven of our sins, there's still consequences to those sins. Just a perfect example of that was even though David was forgiven for the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, there were still consequences later in life because of that. And that can happen with us. And I definitely see that now that I've gone through my own personal deliverance, that a lot of those consequences were still affecting me long after my conversion, my baptism, and the forgiveness. And I now understand it. I can think clearer. I don't have the thoughts that I used to have, and I understand how those weren't my thoughts. And I am definitely guilty of acting out on the things that were said to it, and I've repented of that. But it was definitely a fantastic experience being delivered and working on a deliverance. And I now have confidence that I could do that if needed to or called upon here in my hometown.
Yes. You can set Hollister free there, Ralph. Go forward.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I could set. I could start there and then work my way out.
Amen. Well, technically, so, we haven't worked our way out of Oklahoma County yet. There's plenty to do here. The mission field starts in our backyard.
You've got a few more people there than we do.
Yes.
I didn't realize how big that town was till I went there for the first time. So, I'm sorry?
Oklahoma City is kind of spread out. We have a lot of
Yes. miles. Yes, and there's just a few more people there than what I'm used to. You know, the scripture I wanted to give out as well is 2 Thessalonians 3:3. It says that the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And I think that goes right along there with Luke 10:19. So,
amen.
Amen. There's so many promises laid out in this Bible for us, promises of being protected, promises of power. And, you know, something that we have to, it's hard to wrap our mind around, but the Master did say, greater things than these you will do. And I'm looking forward to when that day when every Christian is doing those things, and we will change this world, and things will change when it happens. Richard, how are we on time?
Well, you know, what's the saying? Unless those days were shortened, we're about out of time, just about another minute. So that's about it. Great, great program tonight.
It is. So thank you, Everett, as always. Thank you for joining us, and
Yes, and I might mention the website.
Yes, one more time,
The website is deliveranceusa.com, and the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, is available through Scriptures for America in their store. So I would encourage people to get that and start learning about this works of Jesus, and because we have people around us everywhere that have these problems that wind up being the names of evil spirits, the good news being we can cast them out, we can get them delivered, as Jesus set out and gave to us in his word.
All right, well, we'll end on that. Gentlemen, good evening and God bless.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. Hope is alive. like